Hello, this is Janet Gallen with Love Letters Live, welcoming you to another episode. And as you know, love letters always have a place in life, and they can crop up where you might least expect them, as you may know from having listened to other episodes where people have written to pets and to cities and to totally abstract things like light and time. Today, however, we are going to start right in with a wonderful man named Zan Cannon Goff. And I met Zan quite accidentally via internet because I had walked by a piece of his work and was so stunned by the beauty of it that I kind of was obsessing on it. And it is the garden in front, the parklet in front of Cheese Plus is so gorgeous. And I went around and pretty much introduced myself to every little palm and succulent. And I found out who the designer was, and here he is, Zan Goff. So tell me about you and your upbringing and how you came to this. And I know you indicated some kind of interesting parts in your life having to do with family. And you start.
Yeah, it's a pleasure meeting you first off.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've definitely, it's been a journey getting into gardening. I'm, you know, in my mid-40s now, and I was nearing the end of my 30s when I really started getting into gardening.
But how did you grow up with a sense of that?
My mom always tells me my first word was flower or fowly, so it seems appropriate that at this point in my life, that's where I am in my practice.
Okay, so tell us how you got there.
After high school, I had applied to Sonoma State University, and I grew up in Mendocino County in Willits, in a very small town up there. And I applied to Sonoma County, to Sonoma State University, which was where my mom had gone, and I was going to be an English major.
What did your mom study there?
She studied expressive arts, and she actually helped start the a paper called the Express. It was the department's first student-run newspaper, and she was very involved in the artistic community around Sonoma County.
So you come to it genetically a little bit, too.
A little bit, too, yeah. Okay. She actually worked on Christo's Running Fence with
a bunch of friends.
Yeah,
oh.
She's had a lot of artistic background.
I'm so excited. I remember when that thing was developing, because I take that Highway 5 a lot.
Huh.
Yes, okay,
nice,
go ahead.
Yeah, she was out on the Petaluma end of it, out towards the
Bodega
end, really. And so there's a lot of creative people in our life. I have always had that around me. So I got accepted to Sonoma State, but I'd only chosen English major because I didn't really know what else to do. You know, it's just when you're growing up, everybody asks, what are you going to be when you grow up? I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was always saying, you can be what you want, you know, be whatever you want to be in life. Don't, you know, listen to other people. Just, you know, follow your own trail.
Wonderful.
And that is wonderful. And it, sometimes in high school, like when I was coming up on 17, 18, I felt it was a liability in a way because I didn't have direction.
Ah, okay. There's a fine line on
that. There is a fine line on that. And in hindsight, I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a good thing to...
sometimes you need strong expectations even to know what to rebel against and say no thanks.
Really. Yeah, really. And she was a child of the 60s, so for her, you know, she had had that rebellion and had had the strictures, so her allowing me the freedom to be what I want was, you know, her way of coping with what she had grown up with, so it was, you know, perfectly understandable. So I got accepted, and I didn't go. I had a scholarship, I had, you know, ability to go to Sonoma State, but I didn't, my heart wasn't in it, so I didn't go. I just started working right away.
Where were you working?
I was working at a little health food store up in Willits. Little mom and pop shop, and I worked there, kind of jack of all trades in the store, making juice, working the lunch counter.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were you, I mean, you had mentioned some interesting, if you feel like it, challenges with your mother's well-being.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering how much that sent you off into a direction of creating beauty. Oddly asked, I guess, but sometimes we create order out of a need for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And in some ways, in terms of settlement later in my life, definitely, because we moved around a lot when I was a kid. You know, I mentioned living in Willis. We lived in first grade. I went to 5 different schools that 1 year, and then we'd settle for 2 years.
What is that like?
It's hard to develop friendships, and you develop friendships, but you also learn to let go of friendships very quickly.
Uh-huh.
But
were you in tears every time you had to leave, or it was just part of life?
It was just part of life.
Uh-huh,
you know, I hadn't really spent enough time to really develop good friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd settle for 2 or 3 years and then move, and then it would be a little harder. It was just...
Was it just you and your mom?
It was just me and my mom. Mm-hmm. My parents divorced when I was 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the last I heard of my dad until 10 years ago.
Oh, can we talk about that?
Oh,
is
absolutely.
That a nice, is that a nice thing?
It is.
Oh, good.
It is. You know, it's really funny. I had been thinking about my dad. This is 2003. And I had been looking online for him, trying, what do you call it, genealogy websites.
Uh-huh.
And didn't really know where to look. And I knew his full name. I knew the last name Goff. I knew a grandmother's name. I knew the region of the country, the very, very deep south where he was from, the Panhandle area. I knew the city. And so I looked online and I couldn't find anything. And then one day I had been out for a weekend camping and I came home and there's this message on my answering machine. It's like, hi, I'm looking for Zan Goff. This
just
is his dad.
Just happened
just
coincidentally?
Happened, coincidentally. And he said his sister was working at the University of Michigan. And he doesn't have that there internet in his house. And his sister works at the University of Michigan. And she had been looking online. He'd been talking about trying to find me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, you know, we can go online and try to find him if you want. You know, for $20, you can find anyone in the U.S. And he said, you know, let me think about that. And so she shows up at work the next day and turns on her computer. And this pop-up comes on and it says, are you looking for a mortgage? Visit Zan.com. And this is this mortgage broker down in Dallas or something. And she goes, that's just too coincidental.
Oh, just a weird message from the universe.
Totally.
I see.
So she paid the $20 and looked me up and found me in San Francisco and gave him my phone number. Said that, you know, I found this phone number in San Francisco. I don't know if it's still active or not. It says 3 years ago. And he called and it was just very much out of the blue.
And what was your initial physical reaction?
I was excited. You know, I sat on it a couple days before I called him back. Do I, you know, there was the leery aspect, like, is he out to get something? Is there something going on?
Oh.
You know, because you see things like that on TV where a long-lost relative turns up and they're trying to, you know, milk you for your millions. Not that I have millions
to
be milked for.
But that's less common than the relative turning up who just wants to find the love that he knows is his from a, yes. Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely. And the highlight of it, though, is we decided to meet up.
Mm-hmm.
And this was May, June, July 4th, actually. July 4th, we met. I flew down to Florida and met him in Tallahassee.
Just now. No, which
2004.
Oh, I'm sorry, 2004. I'm deaf with excitement here. Go ahead.
And I get off the plane in Tallahassee, and it's this small regional airport, even though it's the capital of Florida. You get up on the tarmac and walk across, and he's trying to hide behind a concrete support column, and he's a very large-bellied man, very boss hog.
You could tell that.
I could see this belly sticking
out
from behind, and I'm like, that's got to be him, and I walked around the corner, and sure enough, it was him. We'd sent each other pictures in the
mail. Okay, that's what I was going to ask, yeah.
And, you know, he has this long Fu Manchu mustache and big cowboy hat and very Florida panhandle, and it was great. You know, and hugged him, and he's like, okay, that's enough of that. You know,
oh,
this isn't San Francisco.
How funny and how nice, though, that yes.
And then we got in the car, and he's like, let's go have breakfast with your aunt. I'm like, okay, this is great. I'm going to meet some relatives. I've never, ever met this side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they apparently held me as a baby, but I'd never met them.
Right.
And
were they just floored at seeing you as a grown man?
They were.
And such
they
a
were.
Handsome one, too. That's good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
And we get in the car, and again, this is Tallahassee, and the next thing I know, we're in Georgia. I'm like, wait, what aunt are you talking about? He's like, your aunt Tina up in Michigan. I'm like, okay.
Oh,
so we drove straight through from 11 o'clock that morning till 7 o'clock the next morning, all the way up to Belvedere, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Or Bellevue, excuse me, Michigan.
And that's his sister.
That's his sister. Uh-huh. And had breakfast that morning with her and her daughter, who's my cousin, about my same age. And
was it all just miraculously comfortable? Or were there moments that are...
The awkwardness of it was, I'd mentioned to you previously that I had lost a partner.
Oh, that's
and
right.
That was
yes.
May that same year, so just 2.5 months prior, month and a half prior. And that was a real challenging...
So you were traveling with sadness.
I was traveling with sadness, and meeting my dad with the sadness. And, but at the same time, I'd been planning this trip for a year, so I was trying to focus on being there, and my dad said he really noticed that I really opened up once we got around his sister and my cousin. And growing up with just my mom, that makes a lot of sense to me. I tend to have a stronger female connection than men. Most of my friends are females or women, and I tend to be more comfortable and open up better.
Mm-hmm.
more conversationally. But we had breakfast with them, and we're there an hour and a half, 2 hours. My cousin had to go to work.
So do you feel like now you, in fact, have a more complete family?
I do, and mm-hmm. I'm connected with them on Facebook. We've talked by phone a couple
good.
Of times,
okay.
and Facebook is
now,
great.
Now, how was that with your mother?
She was a little, not put off, but she was mm-hmm. also trepidatious that, like, you know, is he out to get something?
Oh, she didn't want you to be hurt.
She didn't want me
to be
hurt.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, and that was it, really. My dad is not on the internet or Facebook or anything, mm-hmm. and is very sporadic to keep in touch with, and uh-huh. it's by way of text
yes.
every 3 to 6 months and
okay,
a phone
but
call
you
every
know where
2 years,
is,
but I know where
yes,
he is.
Right. And
we do talk, and we have a good conversation.
And is he just so proud of what you become? And
he is. Yeah,
right.
he is.
Yeah.
He is very Southern in his acceptance of homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And not that, you know, that sounds like a put off about Southerners, and it's not meant to be. He has a very traditionally Southern attitude about homosexuality. And so it's difficult for him. And that's, you know, he was going to come out and visit me at one point, but couldn't because of that, because of where I am, because of, you know, he's excited about California and that I'm in California and stuff, but, you know, that was a hard thing for him to deal with still.
And now
if I want to be in touch with him, I have to
go
accept
to him.
That that's how
sure.
it's going to be, and
sure.
we still talk.
I think that's fair enough for a lot of people, that something that's culturally so out of your realm,
right.
you know, is, sure, everything
yeah.
takes getting used to.
Yeah, and it was a great experience for me going down there.
Mm-hmm.
We spent a week, 8 days together. We, you know, the next day drove straight through down to Southern Florida to visit another aunt and have lunch with her the following
mm-hmm.
day. So it was this whirlwind trip.
Yes.
We had 3 days alone together in his truck, just traveling the whole Eastern coast.
Oh, that's so nice. I'm just smiling from ear to ear. I know I got you off track here.
That's fine.
But that's such an exciting thing in life. And
it really was, and I got to hear family connections that I mean, besides actually meeting family,
mm-hmm.
Just the whole family tree from that side of the story, and going to a cemetery where my grandparents and aunts who, you know, died of scarlet fever when they were babies, because that was common in the 40s and 50s still, and just seeing that family connection, like there really was a family connection. We went to a house that his father had built with his own hands in the 20s, and just out of the blue, like, let's go see if there's anybody living there. And he knocks on the door, and this very skeptical woman answers, like, why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
And he starts running through the family history of who he is, and then she opens up and says, well, I'm blah, 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 blah.
My goodness.
And invites us in, and we were there for 5 or 6 hours having tea and coffee and food, and she fed us, and she brought out photo albums and gave me pictures of myself as a baby that I had never seen. And so there's definitely a family connection. And
yes.
With my mom and me, it was just her and me.
Yes.
Her family's all
yes.
in Michigan, where I was born. And now I had one aunt who came out here to California as well.
I'm just wondering if that's confusing in some way to kind of redefine yourself in terms of more people.
It definitely
was. I mean, and really an adventure.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And I still, because, so my mom's side of the family is very religious in a way that I'm not.
Oh,
so I don't have a very close connection with my aunts and uncles on that side. And on my father's side, it's the distance and
mm-hmm.
the distance of time as well as distance
sure.
of
so,
geography.
So just to clarify now, how many years had it been since you last saw him when you were 2? And then you were
2004, so that was 33 years.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Not seeing somebody in 33 years. And then forging a pretty instant bond.
Yeah.
Isn't
yeah.
that just
and
amazing?
We've been talking on the phone, I mean, at least 2 or 3 times a week for pretty much
that's
the whole year before that.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna let you get back to gardening, because I could do this all day. But I do want to know about. So you go ahead, tell about, because your work is so beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So really the transition for me was, as I mentioned, the partner passing away.
Mm-hmm.
And this was May of 2004, and we'd been together nearly 10 years. And that for me was kind of the kick in the pants.
In what way?
To focus on, you know, what am I? Where am I? Where am I going? Where do I come from?
Oh, you hadn't been in your present profession at that time?
I hadn't at all.
Oh, you were kind of a little of this and a little of that still?
I had worked in the health food store in Willits, and that led me to Whole Foods, and I worked at Whole Foods for 7 years, and I was in management there.
Oh.
And I worked at Real Foods, and I worked, you know, in natural foods industry. I did a lot of sewing and costuming and theater in high school.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Oh, that, now that was, can you actually sew yourself?
And
you can actually make a dress?
More home deck sewing, and I've done some clothing as well. I worked in fabric stores. I worked
that
at Rytex here. I worked at Poppy Fabric in Oakland before they went out of business.
Oh, I love Poppy Fabric in Oakland, yeah.
And that was actually the transition that sent me into gardening, was that going out of business. But I worked
in sewing
workrooms.
I bet we have people in common there, too, but I'm not going to take time with it. Okay, go ahead.
Quite probably so. So I worked in sewing workrooms, Laurel Sprigg Custom Sewing Interiors here in town, and we did a lot of hand sewing, very fine work, and I love sewing, so it was kind of back and forth between health food industry and costuming and sewing and home decor. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely an artistic aspect from the sewing side.
How did that translate to plant life?
And that translated to plant life. So in terms of buying in the fabric industry and working in the design aspect of fabric industry, I learned more about where fabrics come from.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also done some buying at Whole Foods, so these things are all starting to mesh together. You know, things that seem like they're such different aspects of life to me suddenly start coming together once I really started thinking about it. And then when it came to gardening, I had been, you know, I mentioned my mom and me, just solo. It was just the two of us. One of our first houses in Willits was very off the grid, and we were 7 miles north of town, then 7 miles, 12 miles north of town, 7 miles up a dirt road. No plumbing, no electricity.
Oh.
There was a phone, oddly, but no plumbing or electricity, and no other children around. So my entertainment was whatever I made it to be, and we're out in the woods, so I got very connected to nature and grew up on health food stores, too. So there was that natural aspect to my life. So when Poppy Fabric went out of business, that was when I really started examining, and my partner had just died, you know, the year before. I'd met my dad the year before. And really started thinking about, okay, what is it I want to do? You know, I keep going to jobs because, oh, sure, I can do that. But I hadn't steered. I hadn't gone there. It wasn't my focus to go into that.
You were doing it by default instead of by self-direction.
Exactly. Okay. And so when Poppy went out of business, my coworker there, who was the other buyer, really wanted me to go to school. She was encouraging me to go to school.
Oh, nice.
And said, I'll even pay for your first class. I'm like, well, what can I learn in school that I can't learn in the school of life? You know, it was very disparaging of school as a necessity. But she insisted on paying for my first class, and she did.
Oh.
And it was a career development class, or not a career placement, but like a life examination thing. It's the teacher's method is called planned happenstance, and she teaches you to look at the world around you, be aware of what you like, be aware of what you don't like, and be vocal about it, and it will come. And so I did, and I knew I wanted to work outdoors. I knew I wanted to work with my hands. I had crossed paths with a former coworker from Whole Foods who was working in the gardening industry now. And he was just walking up Castro Street one day looking exhausted and beaten down. And I talked to him and I'm like, you know, what's going on? He's like, oh, I've just been gardening all day. It's so rewarding, but I'm really tired right now. And that struck a chord with me. I'm like, I want to do something physical because I've been a desk or chair worker or cashier or whatever. You know? And so I decided to take a horticulture class. And I looked at the time, there were 27 city gardeners being hired. And I thought, that's what I want to do, but I don't have the background experience. So what is the background experience? And I looked at the job description, and lo and behold, it matches up with the curriculum at City College.
Oh, good. So you did that?
And verbatim. So I did that with the intention of getting a job as a city gardener.
Did you get one?
No. Because in my planned happenstance, I just kept myself open to the possibilities. Original intention was the certificate in landscape maintenance, and then but then there was landscape design, and there's my artistic life coming
back
in again.
By the way, not only I'm hearing something else, not just your artistic life, which is huge, and your natural abilities, but I noticed in the garden that I saw, there was a structure and an order and a plan, a visual plan that is not so different from what you would have to do when you're sewing.
True. And actually, sewing is what made me understand math, and I've now just earned a math degree this last semester.
Oh, good
and,
for you.
And,
okay.
And also, you mentioned order. We touched briefly on my mom's challenges when I was growing up, but she had a lot of psychological difficulties. She had been in Battle Creek Sanitarium age 13 through 18, graduated high school in a sanitarium, and had been in and out of mental hospitals my whole life, and had had a, ups and downs, let's say.
Sure.
And there were periods when, even in fifth grade, when I would be living alone for a month or two at a time and, writing the rent checks and taking it to her at the hospital.
Oh, really? Actually alone?
Alone, with a lot of neighbors to check in on, and I wasn't. I was still going to school. I still had a support network around me.
You were alone, not abandoned.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. And so I think order in my life comes from a lack of order in my life. And sewing in the detail work, gardening in the detail work, all comes together.
I can see that as you're talking. How did you translate this to your first actual job in landscape design? Do you remember what it was, your first?
My first one was a friend, actually, from when I worked at Poppy Fabric. This guy had come in who had an airport supply company, like making parachutes and stuff like that, and had come to me to source different materials. And then his company went under, and he started taking classes at City College. And so via my teacher, who was my mentor at City College, Charmaine Giuliani, she connected me with him, and we connected on Facebook, and he asked me to come design his backyard.
Oh, okay.
And he lives two blocks from me. So that was my first one, and I was still very tentative with it. Mm-hmm. I'd only been maybe a year and a half into school.
Okay, but you got your hands into it.
But I got my hands into it. And I had worked with a couple of classmates on some of their projects.
So which other thing? Well, first of all, let's give people your website. I'm telling you, this man's work is so gorgeous. Ugh.
Thank you.
Yes. Can I just describe this first?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what I saw there on Polk Street in front of Cheese Plus, which, faces out onto Pacific and Polk, and it's not particularly pretty. And it's kind of noisy, and it's, it's urban, whatever it is.
Trees there.
And it's kind of, sidewalk is its main feature.
Mm-hmm.
Sidewalk gray is kind of... And there's a wonderful restaurant and she shop there. And all of a sudden, I walked by one day, and all of a sudden, there was this absolute Garden of Eden. And the plants rose up from tiered structures, a whole other beauty part of it. And you couldn't see anything on the outside except the top of the Polk Street bus driving by. And even it looked cute. And you were just buffered from all of this urban busyness by the plants.
It was a very exciting project for me to get to work on.
Yes.
For sure. It was my first kind of public face design.
So people can see pictures of that on your...
On my website, which is bozanical.com. I picked the name because of botanical, and my name is Zan, Z-A-N-N.
Oh, okay.
So it's B-O-Z-A-N-N.
Let's spell that slowly for people.
B-O-Z...
A-N-N...
A,
okay.
I-C-A-L.
Okay, B-O-Z-A-N-N-I-C-A-L .com. And the reason I'm doing that is because one letter off and you'll be in some other jungle. Okay.
Yeah, I've done that with websites before.
Of course, okay.
And it was very exciting. I worked with Ray. He was the cheese buyer and the wine department manager at Whole Foods in Berkeley, and we worked together in 1991, I believe, was when I started there, and I think he was there at that time. Worked together for a few years. I don't remember if he came to open the Franklin Street store with me or not, but I came over as one
of
the first.
You're just full force landscape design. You're just zipping along.
I am, yeah. That's so great. I've done a few residential, and this was my first.
I've seen pictures of them, yes. Yeah. Okay.
And this is my first very public, public space. Part
Wonderful.
Of it. And so he'd mentioned to me, he came into, I work at Flora Grub Gardens as a buyer there for the design department.
Oh, that's what you do by day?
When
you're
day.
Not?
I'm there 4 days a week, and then I'm doing my gardening 2 days a week, and see where it all goes from there. Keep it open.
Okay.
And so I'm,
I have some
again,
ideas,
surrounded by this, artistic.
And a real definition of who you are in this world in a way, in that regard, in your artistic life.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. Okay, I have a question because I am, after all, about love letters. And every one of life's experiences has within it the seeds of a love letter to somebody. Now, I'm just curious, do you write letters?
I do. Well, I used to write letters, like paper letters, religiously. When I first moved down here, I wrote to my old bosses up in Willits. I wrote to mom and to a couple of aunts.
So you're no stranger to sitting down and doing it.
Absolutely. And now I write online. I write on my Bozanical. I also
write
zancannongoff.com, which is my... memoirs. I'm writing memoirs and
short stories.
And kind of building a book out of short stories.
Okay, that's wonderful. And what about things in your own handwriting? Now, there is something about...
Much.
Would you be willing to do a couple?
Absolutely.
I got homework for you because I'm going to write it if you... The teacher, the woman who paid for your first class, have you ever written to her?
Electronically, but
okay.
Yeah, but not in hand.
There's something about a letter in handwriting that is unbeatable. First of all, as I always like to say, when she gets it, she'll be touching something that's felt the touch of your hand. Proof that you were there.
Hmm.
There's something, and also, as long as you're doing memoirs, it'll probably be nice for somebody someday to find, and I mean really someday, I look very much to the future here, to find letters that you've written.
Yeah.
You know, you're part of San Francisco design history with what you're doing.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, good point.
And, of course, there is also, gosh, who else could you write love letters to? I mean, I'm thinking your dad and the aunts that you've never met and your mom for what
My
she was
sure.
able to give you, you know?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, really.
That,
and I have written to my friend Deborah, who paid for that first class. She came to my graduation last semester. I invited her because she had paid for my first class. And
yes.
I was graduating with my degree in horticulture. And I invited her,
and
she was glad to come, and I wrote her a thank you card. So
That's wonderful. Okay, so she has things in your signature.
And then my mentor at school, who I also work with on a weekly basis, doing garden work. I work as her assistant. You know, she's one that would be deserving of a love letter.
Yes,
absolutely.
There, and of course, letters of appreciation, or even short ones. You know, I remember when you did such and such.
Hmm.
Some little, even short things signed are such a joy to get. Because what does your mail pile look like most days?
Junk mail,
mm-hmm.
if anything.
Right.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, mostly email, like we were talking about
earlier. Yes. And by the way, and I love email. I mean, I'm not disparaging that at all. I love it. But there is something important about handwriting.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
And I notice when I do write, like, you know, in classes and stuff, we have to do some of our papers by hand. And I start to cramp because I'm so out of practice with handwriting.
And, yes.
I miss the fluidity. I was very studied in my handwriting.
Were you?
When I first moved here, I was moving to the big city from this little town, and I had to do it. I was into propriety and table settings and, you know, this and reading Miss Manners. And
good for
I
you.
Had a proper stationer's wardrobe with different size papers
and
different colors and,
yes.
and materials for
and
different
by the
purposes.
Way, and that is really significant.
It
the
is.
Different, yes, paper and the different styles of it and colors.
Right. Uh-huh. And the, yeah, different sizes for a personal letter goes on this size
yes.
paper.
Yes, oh, good for
and,
you.
And
you know, so you put thought into what you put thought into what stationery and ink. Oh, I
did,
love this.
Yeah, and ink and handwriting as well.
Yes. Okay, so you do this. So that's wonderful.
It's been 25 years, but yes,
nice
it would
to
be
hear
exciting
that.
To get back into that again.
Yeah, just you know, just dropping a trail here and there of where you are in life and who you're grateful to, or just who you're thinking about for no. I think it just feels so good.
Yeah.
To do it.
My old boss is up in Willits, too, who worked at the little health food store up there, which they no longer have. But
now, does your mother still live in Willits?
She lives in Guerneville now, Russian River. And I see her three or four times a year. I love it there.
Oh, good. Know. Okay.
And she doesn't get around much on her own. She doesn't drive or anything, so I either go there and bring her to the city.
Yes.
Or go stay with her for a day or two.
Yes. Does she get absolutely weepy when she sees all that you...
Yeah. Yeah. When she sees what I've done, when she sees me, period.
I would think, yes, yes.
Yeah, it's always a hard parting, you know, even
yes.
though it's only going to be for a few months. It's you know, a hard separation.
I think that's true. I mean, you know, telling our children goodbye when we know we're not going to see them for even a couple of months is hard. But are you in touch with her, like Skype or email?
Phone.
Or,
I wish
or phone.
She could
I forget about the phone.
Right. I wish she could get online, but
no, that's okay.
She has a
I was just
time
curious.
That, but we do talk by phone weekly.
Yeah, okay. So when the phone rings for her, it's probably a nice thing because it could be you.
Right.
Okay. Because I heard something recently that I think was just horrifying but true, that so many people today consider a phone call rude.
Huh.
Have you heard that?
No.
Well, I have. But and I can see where it could be, but everything, you know, points up the need for a letter is never rude because it never interrupts anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I could see, there's times of day when I see a phone call is, well, growing up, you know, of course, phone was the thing, so if the phone rang at 7, that's rude, you're interrupting dinner.
Right.
Or 6 or whatever, you just knew not to call in a certain window.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Yeah. Today you see people on their cell phones all the way through dinner.
Right. Yeah, and well, I'm guilty of that too, so I'm not, I won't talk on the phone at the dinner table, but,
yes, but you glance down at the,
texting or posting a picture of my food.
I know.
Because life the world needs another picture of somebody's meal.
Yes, of course, exactly. Oh, okay, well, I just want to thank you so much for doing this with me. I'm so glad that we got to meet in person.
Me as well.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Well, until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye. And remember, if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, there's always one. And largely it is in your own memory, and I just say do it. That's it. Thank you. Bye-bye.